ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। गुड मॉर्निंग, रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 8। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णा शोज द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म। टेक्स्ट नंबर 33। सा गृहीत्वा करे कृष्णम् उपालभ्याहिताशिनी उपालभ्याहितेशिनी यशोदाभयसम्भ्रान्त प्रेक्षणाक्षम् अभाषत। अराइज फियरफुल, शी स्पोक टू हर सन एज फॉलोज। सिंस देर इज नो परपोर्ट, वील रीड द नेक्स्ट वर्स। टेक्स्ट नंबर 34। कस्मान् मृदम् अदान्तात्मन् भवान् भक्षितवान् रह वदन्ति तावकायेते कुमारस्ते ग्रजोप्यहम्। डियर कृष्णा, वाई आर यू सो रेस्टलेस दैट यू हैव ईटन डर्ट इन अ सॉलिटरी प्लेस? दिस कंप्लेंट हैज बीन लॉज्ड अगेंस्ट यू बाय ऑल योर प्लेमेट्स इंक्लूडिंग योर एल्डर ब्रदर बलराम। How is this? Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Mother Yashoda was agitated by Krishna's restless misbehavior. Her house was full of sweetmeats. Why then should the restless boy eat dirt in a solitary place? Krishna replied, "My dear mother, they have plotted together and lodged a complaint against me, so that you will punish me. My elder brother Balram has joined them. Actually, I have not done this. Take my words as true. Do not be angry and chastise me." Hare Krishna. We are reading a very beautiful section from the 10th canto, where Lord Krishna is showing the universal form to his mother. And Mother Yashoda, she is in the ecstasy of anxiety and worry for her baby Krishna. So when we read about Mother Yashoda's anxiety, which is given in great detail in Srimad Bhagavatam and also in Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrit, so when we read Mother Yashoda's anxiety, we can realize how Vrindavan or Krishna consciousness is the complete antithesis of the conventional understanding of spiritual life. Generally, spiritual life is considered to be a life where there is complete peace, shanti. But Krishna consciousness is dynamic. And Mother Yashoda, of course, eternally liberated soul, eternal associate of Krishna, we cannot compare. But we can see how Mother Yashoda and the Brajavasis, they go through various emotions being churned in their heart. Like during Kaliya pastime, there is so much anxiety. And then there is fear. And then when Krishna starts dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, there is joy and celebration. And immediately after Kaliya pastime is the pastime of devouring of the forest fire. Again there is fear. Anxiety. So, in Vrindavan, these emotions keep happening, different emotions. But since all of them are in connection with Krishna, all of them are based on intense remembrance of Krishna, that is spiritual. And all these emotions, they only give joy to the heart. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that all the different emotions that are experienced in Vrindavan are nothing but simply different flavors of ecstasy. And that ecstasy is flavored through sometimes fear, anxiety. It's completely different from material anxiety or even material joy. Gopi Paranadana Prabhu and Hridayanand Maharaj give the example of ice cream. In their purport to the 10th canto, they explain in an example which we can relate to. They say ice cream is very sweet and relishable, but ice creams have different layers and different flavors. So these flavors are all essentially the same ice cream, but these different flavors are there to attract us. Similarly, in Vrindavan, it's the same rasa, rasa of spiritual ecstasy, but it is flavored differently. So, and these emotions in Vrindavan, they reach the heightened state of ecstasy when Mother Yashoda is in anxiety for Krishna. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness movement, when devotees purchase the anxiety of the spiritual master of Krishna or for the mission, then they also experience deep internal connection with Krishna. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked by a devotee, Srila Prabhupada, how can one become Krishna conscious? One devotee asked this question. So Srila Prabhupada said, by your desire. A few days later, another devotee asked the same question. Srila Prabhupada, how can I become Krishna conscious? And this time, Srila Prabhupada said, by your eagerness. And then again, some weeks later, some other third devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how can one become Krishna conscious? And Srila Prabhupada said, by your anxiety. So if you see externally, Srila Prabhupada gave three different answers to the same question at three different times. Actually, all the three answers are same. Just like, you know, if you say, this water has to be boiled, the water is boiling and the water is fully boiled. We are referring to the same water. Similarly, desire, eagerness and anxiety refers to the same thing. So when Srila Prabhupada said desire, it is the basic initial desire, that spark which helps us become Krishna conscious. But that desire has to evolve, that desire has to become eagerness, intense eagerness to advance in spiritual life. And that eagerness becomes more ripened when we purchase anxiety and when we take serious responsibility for the spiritual master's mission. Once another occasion, Srila Prabhupada, he asked all the devotees in a morning walk, why have you all taken up to Krishna consciousness? Why does one take to Krishna consciousness? So one devotee said, one takes to Krishna consciousness because he's fed up of material life. Srila Prabhupada said, no. Then he asked another devotee, why does one take up to Krishna consciousness? Another devotee said, because Krishna says, Sarvadharman Parityajya. So different devotees gave different answers. And then finally Prabhupada gave his understanding. He said, one takes to Krishna consciousness. You have taken to Krishna consciousness because you have a desire. You wanted to take to Krishna consciousness. So this initial desire may be there. So we may come to Krishna consciousness. That little tiny desire may be there. But that desire has to become deeper. And we have to eventually take up serious responsibility. And then we experience ecstasy. We experience spiritual feelings. So when we say responsibility and anxiety, that means responsibility for whatever we are doing, for sadhana, for our chanting, for carrying out our duties in our respective ashrams, like that. Because if we don't grow from our basic initial desire to taking up serious responsibility and anxiety for the spiritual master's mission, then we are depriving ourselves of real joy in spiritual life. Because this desire which we have for Krishna consciousness can easily be drowned by so many other desires. Because it's not that Krishna consciousness is the only desire we have. It's a tiny desire. Along with that, there are so many other unmentionable desires. It is said by scientists that in one day, 24-hour period, for a normal human being, 32,000 thoughts come in the heart and mind. So you can imagine so many desires, so many things happen in one 24-hour period. So many, 32,000, it's like a huge army that is attacking us. Some soldiers you can see, but many soldiers you can't see. So many desires in the heart, so many thoughts. So where is that Krishna consciousness desire? It's somewhere, you know, it's tiny. So if we don't intensify our Krishna consciousness, then these material desires will eventually overwhelm our consciousness. And although we have a sincere desire to progress, at some point of time we'll realize Krishna consciousness has slipped from our hands. Therefore, Krishna consciousness means serious responsibility for serving Krishna, Krishna's representatives. And Krishna consciousness is not some utopian idea of, you know, some sweet, goody stuff, you know, a person has some kind of externally pretending to be a very advanced devotee with some halo around his head, smiling. If you see most of the Mayavadis, when they present spirituality, they present like this. The Mayavadi speaker will come and he will sit on the asana and he will give a big smile at everyone and then he will speak all euphemistic, you know, word jugglery. I have attended one program where, you know, this very big speaker was sitting and he just smiled and he said, and he was told, the comparer said, now our spiritual master, our guru will speak on love. And he just looked at the sky, then looked at everyone and then said, love is beauty. And then he paused and then he said, beauty is divine. Divine is bliss. Like that he used different words. And at one point of time, he paused and then everybody clapped. Wow, you know. And then it was so superficial, so superficial. And they all talk about this. Ultimately, you get this peace, shanti. Gauri Prabhu, the temple president, he was the temple president at that time in Bhaktivedanta Manor, London. He was telling me that in London, all the Hindus unite because they need to be together. So that time one very famous Hindu spiritual leader who is like the number one right now, he came and he was supposed to address all the Hindus of London. So thousands of people are sitting and this guru came 2 hours late for the program. They were all waiting. And when he came after 2 hours, they expected that he will enlighten all the audience. He just sat. He didn't speak a word for half an hour. He was just looking at everyone. And there was pin drop silence. For half an hour, he was just quiet. And then he smiled and said, how beautiful is the sound of silence. And then everybody clapped. And then he got up and he left. And everybody, oh, you know, they went gaga over it. As if something, some divine wisdom was given. How beautiful is the sound of silence. So these are very attractive, you know, these look very glamorous. And there is no idea about taking anxiety for Krishna. They'll say, no anxiety. Spiritual life means peace. But Srila Prabhupada, he would smash these things as manorathena sati dhavato bahi. These are all speculations of the mind. A person is riding the chariot of the mind and speculating that spiritual life is some vague understanding. Actually, Krishna consciousness is intense. We cannot circumvent the natural progression in Krishna consciousness of taking serious responsibility and depending on Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was fighting for the land at Juhu. His Holiness Satsvarup Maharaj writes a beautiful purport to this pastime in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit. He says, why was Srila Prabhupada fighting against Mr. N? Other devotees were feeling, why doesn't Srila Prabhupada relinquish this land? Why is he so attached? You know, why is he fighting for this land? So for a mundane person, especially for Mr. N, who was driven by material motives, he was thinking Srila Prabhupada is also driven by the same motives. He also wants something material. That's why he's also fighting with me. And many devotees are also bewildered. They're not understanding why Srila Prabhupada is fighting for this land. But Satsvarup Maharaj gives a beautiful purport. He says, Srila Prabhupada promised to Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Ji that I will build, please stay here. I will build a nice temple for you. So for him, for Srila Prabhupada, this promise to Radha Ras Bihari is not some lip service. It is a deep commitment made to Krishna and Srimati Radharani. And then, because he had this desire to serve Radha Ras Bihari, he was very attached to Krishna and he wanted to please them. And then Satsvarup Maharaj writes, that just like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda were very protective about Krishna, and they wanted to please Krishna and serve Krishna in all ways, similarly, Srila Prabhupada was very protective about Radharas Bihari. He wanted to serve them, he wanted to please them. So therefore, we cannot understand the consciousness of exalted devotees, how they are obsessed with pleasing Krishna. And to the extent we take up such challenges or such services, even in our sadhana, when we make deep commitment to improve our consciousness, then we are actually making advancement. Even in material life, if you see, you know, people who take up a lot of anxiety, their relationships also improve. You know, when they take up challenges for each other. I remember when I grew up in our colony, there was one in our neighbor. This lady was engaged to another boy from the same neighborhood, and he went to Gulf, and there was Gulf War 91. There was no mobile phones at that time, so a lot of he was trapped there, and a lot of anxiety and phone calls back and forth, and a lot of drama. You know, it was a very intense emotional drama going on. And she would come, and sometimes the phone would not work and things like that. So we were closely watching it. Our family was closely watching this whole episode, which lasted for a few months. Finally, he escaped from Kuwait, went to another country. Finally, with a lot of adventure, he came back. And it was a like kind of a reunion, and everybody celebrated. So years later, when I met him, I was telling him that, oh, you know, that phase in 91, 92, that must have been the most traumatic phase of your life. Very intense. So then he told me that actually in retrospect, when I look back now, it was very good I went through that phase, because my relationship with my wife became very deep, because we were in constant anxiety. She was in constant anxiety about my safety. I was constantly in anxiety what will happen. So now when I look back, I feel my relationship became strengthened because of that crisis. So in Krishna consciousness, see, this can happen in material life. If somebody takes anxiety for Krishna, will Krishna not reciprocate? If these things can happen in mundane material relationships, how much more powerful are emotional expressions for Krishna? So if somebody takes up challenges, then how Krishna will reciprocate? That is beyond our comprehension. I remember His Holiness Kadambakanand Swami Maharaj, when he was here last time, I had the good fortune of meeting him in his room. And I was talking to him about a few things, because he has done a lot of management and he has taken a lot of challenges in Krishna consciousness. So I asked him that, Maharaj, because he is the one who built that Prabhupada Samadhi in Mayapur. Intense work schedules used to have. So he was telling me schedule, how he would get up at 2 in the morning and by 4:30 he would complete his rounds, attend Radha Madhav's Mangalarti, and 5:15 to 7:30 in the night he would be busy working. And in between, whenever you would get time, you would read a little or chant a little extra. Then again run, manage the laborers, do everything. And 8 o'clock, you would crash, you would sleep. So like this, he was doing services for so many years and so much anxiety. It's not easy. You know, even when he was in Vrindavan, he was stretching himself so much. He had to deal with the land problems and, you know, land mafia, so many issues. For Prabhupada's mission, he did so much. And then he was saying, because he was always pakka about his Mangalarti chanting, that he never compromised. And he says, because of, you know, very strict sadhana and because of carrying out his duties very sincerely, he says, when he was reading Srila Prabhupada's purports, he was finding it ecstatic. He says, each time I was reading, new realizations were coming in my heart. And I was finding it amazing. I was thinking, wow, what is Srila Prabhupada writing here? Each day was like, you know, I was relishing more and more all of Prabhupada's lectures, all of Srila Prabhupada's books. So this is the way Krishna consciousness works. Even Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj once told Srila Prabhupada during the Juhu crisis, when they were trying to get the land. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj told Srila Prabhupada, I feel so much anxiety because of the various services I am doing. But at the same time, I also feel sometimes that I am making advancement. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you are making advancement if you maintain your sadhana strongly and you take responsibility, you're making advancement. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, but Prabhupada, sometimes I cannot chant because of this anxiety. What should I do? Srila Prabhupada said, you should chant. If you chant clearly, pronouncing the holy name clearly, then you can face all this anxiety. And when Prabhupada was speaking like this, after some time he got a phone call. It was regarding some serious problem in the land, some negotiation. And Prabhupada was talking on the phone for a long time. And then Srila Prabhupada kept the phone down. And then it was Prabhupada was visibly upset, or you know, he was in anxiety. Something wrong had happened, something. So Prabhupada kept the phone down. And he had just preached to Tamal Krishna Maharaj some time back. And he himself followed it now. He picked up his beatbag. And very clearly, he intensely chanted, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. Srila Prabhupada also speaks about this in great detail in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila, where Lord Chaitanya comes to meet Haridas Thakur, and he tells Haridas Thakur that, I am feeling great anxiety. या सबार कोन मते होई बे निस्तार तहारे तु ना देखिए ये दुख अपार. Lord Chaitanya is telling Haridas Thakur that how will all these people be delivered? होई बे निस्तार हियार तहार हेतु ना देखिए. I am not able to see how these people will be delivered. ये दुख अपार. I am feeling great दुख, great distress to see that these yavanas are not being delivered. This is one of the most beautiful purports. Srila Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport to this verse. He says, this verse proves that Lord feels dukkha. Lord feels anxiety to see the tragedy of the fallen souls. And therefore, the Lord comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanyaya. And then Srila Prabhupada writes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers must take Lord's mission seriously. भारत भूमि ते होइले मनुष्य जन्म जार जन्म सार्थक करी करो परोपकार. एंड देन श्रील प्रभुपाद राइट्स दिस इज वन ऑफ द बेस्ट सेंटेंसेस इन द परपोर्ट. ही सेज वन हु आइडेंटिफाइज हिमसेल्फ एज अ फॉलोअर ऑफ चैतन्य महाप्रभु मस्ट फील लाइक चैतन्य महाप्रभु. जस्ट लाइक चैतन्य महाप्रभु इज फीलिंग दुख एंग्जाइटी टू सी द सफरिंग सोल्स. श्रील प्रभुपाद इज सेइंग वन हु आइडेंटिफाइज हिमसेल्फ एज अ फॉलोअर ऑफ चैतन्य महाप्रभु मस्ट फील लाइक चैतन्य महाप्रभु. He must feel anxiety for Lord's mission. So when Mahaprabhu is telling Haridas Thakur that how will these yavanas be delivered, I am feeling great distress, Haridas Thakur replies, he gives a lot of consolation to the Lord. Haridas kahe Prabhu, chinta na koriya, yavanera samsara dekhi dukha na bhaviya. Haridas kahe Prabhu, my dear Lord, chinta na koriya. Don't worry, don't take anxiety. I am confident that the yavanas will be delivered. So here again, Srila Prabhupada says, devotees must console the Lord by adopting the cause of the Lord. And then Srila Prabhupada writes one of the most beautiful sentences. He says, this is actually service. One who tries to relieve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's anxiety is most dear to the Lord. So when we try to relieve the spiritual master of his anxiety, who is serving in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we also become most dear to Krishna. And spiritual master gives us many instructions, primarily the instructions he gives us during the time of initiation. So when we make it as our life's mission to please the spiritual master by chanting our 16 rounds very attentively, by trying to follow the regulative principles, hell or heaven, and taking up serious responsibility and service, we become very dear to Krishna. And when we do this, we are following Mother Yashoda's footsteps. Because she, as a pure eternal associate of Krishna, she is always serving Krishna. And she is always anxious. In Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I was reading a very sweet pastime of how Mother Yashoda feels very, very much anxious when Krishna goes out to the forest in Vrindavan every day. Mother Yashoda would be coming out till the edge of Vrindavan. Krishna and his boyfriends would be going out and she would just not leave. And Krishna would look back and tell his mother, Mother, please go back and carry out your household duties. I'll come back in the evening. Mother Yashoda would just say, no, Krishna, wait. And then she would keep looking at Krishna. Finally, Krishna would go. And after Krishna has left for some time, for some distance, then Mother Yashoda would call out loudly. She would say, Krishna, wait, wait. And then all the boys would wait. Krishna would come back. Then Mother Yashoda would adjust his clothes. Oh, your clothes are not proper. And then she would tighten his turban adjust his cloth properly, and then Krishna would leave. And then as he would be leaving, again she would call out, "Krishna, wait, wait, wait." And then again Krishna would wait. "Now what?" he would ask his mother. And then the mother would say, "Oh, you must be very hungry in the forest. Please take the sweets. Please take some fruits." Then Krishna would take all of it and again he would leave. And as again he would leave, again Mother Yashoda, unable to bear the separation, she would call out, "Krishna!" And then again Krishna would turn back. "Now what?" he would ask. And Mother Yashoda would say, "Oh, you should take some paan also." Then she would give him some nicely packed paan. Then again Krishna would leave. Then again she would call out, "Krishna!" Then Krishna would say, "Now what, Mother?" And then she would say, "No, see, be very careful. Don't go deep into the forest. There are a lot of thorns there, a lot of animals. Please be careful." Finally, Krishna would say, "Okay, now you please leave." And Mother Yashoda would turn and she would walk, and then Krishna would go to the forest. Then again Mother Yashoda would turn back and she would say, "Krishna, wait." And then Krishna would wait. And he would say, "Why are you calling me so many times?" Mother Yashoda would say, "No, no, I'm not calling you." Then she would call Balaram. She would say, "Balaram, you are Krishna's elder brother. Please stay in front of Krishna and protect him. And Sridhama, you stay behind." And Stoka, she would call out to Stoka Krishna and Subal. And she would say, "Both of you be on either side of Krishna. So on four sides you protect Krishna." Like that she would instruct them and they would say, "Okay." Now then they would leave, and after they left, again Mother Yashoda would call, "Krishna!" Unable to bear the separation, and then Krishna would come running and fall at Mother Yashoda's feet and then get up and embrace her and tell her, "No, Mother, now you please leave." Then they would leave and Mother Yashoda would just stand there, unable to move, stambha. She would experience the intense emotional ecstasy of, she would become like a statue. She would be just standing like a painted picture. She would be just looking at the direction of Krishna. And after, you know, Krishna, a lot of dust would be raised by Krishna and the cowherd boyfriends and the cows going. And after the last particle of dust would settle down, then she would come back to Vrindavan. And this was the schedule every day. You know, every day Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boyfriends, they would get up and they would go to the forest. And there would be intense emotional experience in Vrindavan. Like when Krishna would get up in the morning, he would not go to the forest just like that. He had a few important things that he had to take to the forest. He would take his flute and his buffalo horn, his stick, silk cloth. No, just like you get up in the morning and before you get out of the house, you take your mobile and your credit card and car key. So like that, Krishna also had his paraphernalia. You take things and then he would leave. So when Krishna would leave, it would be a great festival. And when they would enter the forest, all the Brajvasis, the gopis, gopas, everybody would be just looking at Krishna, stunned. And then Krishna, just to wake them up, because they would be in internal state of samadhi, just to bring them back to the external consciousness, he would blow his buffalo horn. That was called Mandaghosh. He would blow that horn. And then they would come back. And then they would realize, "Oh, we have to go back." So then they would walk back to Vrindavan. But the little children who could not go with Krishna, they would start crying, feeling intense separation from Krishna. And then all the elders would pacify the children. And then they would go back to Vrindavan. And whole day, while the cowherd boyfriends would be playing with Krishna, enjoying with Krishna in the forest, all the elders, they would be in Vrindavan feeling intense separation from Krishna. They would be looking at the sun. "Oh, come on, go fast, set fast." Because they know that when the sun will set, Krishna will come back. And they're looking, why are you so slow? You know, is there some traffic jam? Why are you so slow? Go fast, go fast. They are desperate. They are desperate to be reunited with Krishna. So then as the sun would set, then Krishna would enter. Baraha pidam natavara vapu karnayo karnikaran bibrada vasah kanaka kapisam vajayanti chamalam randran venu radara sudaya parayan gopavrindher Vrindaranyam Sapadaramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. Shukdev Goswami describes how Krishna enters Vrindavan from the forest after grazing the cows. Baraha Pidam, he would have a beautiful peacock feather on his head. Natavara Vapu, he would be dressed like a beautiful actor. Karanayo Karanikar, he would have beautiful flowers on his ears. And his clothes would be dazzling lightning. and Vaijayanti cha malam. You would have Vaijayanti garland, garland made of Vaijayanti flowers. And Randran Venur Adhara Sudaya, on his lips would be the beautiful flute which he would play. And this would give joy to the Gopas and Gopis of Vrindavan. Vrindaranyam Sapadaravanam. This is the way he would enter Vrindavan. Even when he would go to the forest, he would play his flute. And that sound would be so enchanting. And the Gopis would hear that sound. And then Krishna would enter the forest, deep into the forest. And when the Gopis would be doing their household chores, they would still feel the effect of that flute sound. They would hear it. Even though he was not playing it, they would hear it. You know, like in a mundane sense, when you hear some mundane song, if it is very attractive, even later you keep remembering it or humming it. You know? So you can imagine the pure sense what it must have been when Krishna is playing his flute and all the residents of Vrindavan, they're waiting for Krishna to come back. And this was a schedule every day. Like, you know, in the evening you would come back, and then after that the Gopas would feel sad. And the night they would be waiting for the sun to rise. And even before the sun would rise, they would all run to Mother Yashoda's house. And they would be there as Krishna would wake up. Krishna would be dressed by Mother Yashoda. As Krishna would be dressed, Krishna's friends would be assisting Mother Yashoda in dressing Krishna. And then Krishna would be playing with those boys. Like, he would take his flute and beat one boy on the head. And then Mother Yashoda would tell him, "Krishna, don't be restless. Let me dress you." And as soon as they would be ready, the boys would be excited to go out. And every day they would be running to the forest to enjoy with Krishna. So every day morning, this was the schedule. They were not bored. It's not like, you know, you get up in the morning and you have to go to office. I don't think we are so excited every day. You know, I have to go to office. That's material world. Ehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate. Adi anta vanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. There is adi and anta. There is actually no joy in material world. But in Golok Vrindavan, this is the pastime every day and everybody is enjoying. So even when the gopis and the elderly residents of Vrindavan are distressed in Krishna's absence, they are experiencing deep internal ecstasy. So this is our goal. We also want to one day experience this connection with Krishna, deep affection for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada has given us this wonderful organization, ISKCON, where we can render so many services and please Krishna in so many ways. There is one pastime I remember, we cannot imitate this pastime, but we can see how Srila Prabhupada took so much anxiety for Krishna and how his sincere followers and disciples also took anxiety and they also experienced deep connection with Krishna. For this pastime, this is there in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. This was during the opening of Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan, April 1975. It was a grand opening ceremony. A lot of people had come. And Srila Prabhupada offered aarti. You see that famous photograph? Srila Prabhupada is offering aarti to Krishna Balaram with his kurta and shawl. And after that aarti, he comes out and he addresses all the assembled guests that we can open hundreds of temples like this for spreading Krishna consciousness. And after that grand opening ceremony, in the evening, Srila Prabhupada sits in his room with his few intimate followers. And they are all senior GBC men. It's hot, summer Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada's kurta is open, he's relaxed. And he says something very striking. He says, "I'm willing to open temples like this and spend lakhs of rupees. But my heart is yearning for more and more book production. Production of books is more important. We have to spread this message. We have to preach." So when Srila Prabhupada said this, the devotees there realized that Srila Prabhupada is really, really anxious for seeing that if Chaitanya Charitamrita is published. Now this was a very significant reaffirmation by Srila Prabhupada about the importance of book distribution and book production, because this was coming at a time when it was coming in the midst of a spectacular temple opening ceremony, and there Srila Prabhupada is talking about his books. So they could realize why Prabhupada is so desperate, because he was anxious because he had written Chaitanya Charitamrita and it was not published. There was a delay in publishing it. He had finished translating and he had also completed the four volumes of the fourth canto, and he had also finished the first volume of the fifth canto. But till now, only one of those volumes had been published. So Prabhupada was very much anxious, and one devotee did not understand Prabhupada's mood. He was sitting there. He said, "Srila Prabhupada, you should go to Hawaii. You can translate there very nicely. The weather is very nice." And Prabhupada became very upset. He said, "I am not encouraged to translate when I see that you are not publishing them." Now, Srila Prabhupada was pushing devotees to publish these books. But devotees were having big problems because their BBT press was at New York. Now they had shifted to Los Angeles. And Rameshwar Swami and Radha Vallabh Prabhu, they were made in charge. And they didn't have even proper off. They had just shifted. Nothing was ready. And now here Srila Prabhupada is saying, "What is this delay? Come on, publish the books fast." Now somebody may say, "Why is Srila Prabhupada so unreasonable?" But one has to carefully understand how Srila Prabhupada has taken so much anxiety. See, Srila Prabhupada is not unnaturally expecting this from his disciples because he himself was doing something mind-boggling. Now this 1973-1974, that was a time when 18 months, in 1.5 years, Srila Prabhupada wrote the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now in these 18 months, what was Srila Prabhupada's age during this time? He was 76-77, that was his age, 78. At this age, Srila Prabhupada was translating Chaitanya Charitamrita in 18 months, and this was not the only thing he was doing. You know, I was listing down, I could think of 10 things which was Prabhupada was doing simultaneously along with this translation. I found it very interesting because, you know, sometimes I write some articles and it is so disturbing when you have to do something else along with that. You can't do multitasking. You know, when you are doing writing, you don't want to do anything else. You want privacy. You want peace, shanti. You don't want any anxiety. Just let me just write. But here, Srila Prabhupada is writing Chaitanya Charitamrita and is in the middle of 10 massive things, responsibilities. Like this was a time during this period, Srila Prabhupada witnessed intense management affairs of ISKCON. Very intense. And this was the period when Srila Prabhupada was constantly traveling. He was not staying in one place. Constantly traveling. Now you can do management in one place peacefully. Not peacefully, but you can do in one place. But traveling and doing management, both places and so many places. If this was not enough, he confronted major problems which was caused by some of his top leaders leaving their posts during this time. So you can imagine all these three things, you know. And then, this was in the West. And in India, Srila Prabhupada was personally attending to all GBC duties. For India, there was no proper GBC at that time. So Prabhupada had to be involved personally in all these affairs. And if all these were not sufficient, not enough, Prabhupada also was involved in many managerial affairs, like many checks he had to sign, many things he had to do personally. And this was the period when Srila Prabhupada authorized many large amount of loans, BBT loans and other loans, and he personally had taken the anxiety of three major projects in India: construction of temple in Vrindavan, Mayapur and Bombay. And each of these places had very big challenges. And this was the period when Srila Prabhupada approved the expansion and development of ISKCON all over the world. And with all this, every day Srila Prabhupada was responding to mail, letters of devotees all over the world. And wherever Srila Prabhupada traveled, he would speak every day in the evening to guests. And he would speak with leisure, as if he had a lot of time and nothing to do. If you see, you know, some of those videos, you will be amazed how Srila Prabhupada is talking to the guests, relaxed. And he would laugh, talk with them. He would be very courteous, give them prasad. Recently I was hearing Prabhupada conversing with some Catholic priests. And after some, almost 45 minutes of conversation, and then this priest, they are like kind of, they want to leave now. They are saying, "Okay, Your Highness, we'll leave now." And Prabhupada says, no, sit. Prabhupada says, "I can talk whole day about Krishna. Please sit." So Srila Prabhupada had so much eagerness and enthusiasm to speak about Krishna whole day. And he was telling this priest, sit. So Srila Prabhupada was talking to the guests, writing letters every day. And wherever he traveled, every day morning he would give Bhagavatam class without fail. And these classes had He would not speak management agenda in the class. He would speak pure Krishna conscious philosophy. You know, so much anxiety, but completely blissful, glorifying Krishna. And then in, on top of all this, I just remembered, he was also giving initiations everywhere he went. How much anxiety, you know. But still, during this period, he completed the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. Amazing. I remember I was reading Mahatma Gandhi's many years ago, some books. So he writes in his memoir that, you know, he was arrested by the British and he was put in jail for a few years. He says, I'm very grateful that I was put in jail for a few years because during this time, I could write the maximum. So he was given a nice prison cell where he could sit and write for hours because he had nothing else to do. So his best creative writing, including his My Experiments with Truth and all those other volumes of books that he has written on Gita and so many other things, all of that he wrote when he was peacefully in his prison cell and he had no other disturbance. So what Srila Prabhupada has done, writing in the middle of, you know, it's bizarre, it's crazy. How can you do all the, how can, it's humanly impossible. It's humanly impossible to give Chaitanya Charitamrita and write these things when you are doing so many things. So meanwhile, so devotees knew that Srila Prabhupada is not unreasonable. He is having so much anxiety to serve Krishna and is so much Krishna conscious. So devotees wanted to purchase that anxiety of Srila Prabhupada. So Rameshwar Swami and Radha Vallabh Prabhu, they were working hard to establish a BBT office because book publishing is later. Now they don't even have an office to publish the books because they had just completed the lease agreement for the office and the BBT artists, they had just arrived and there were no editors, proofreaders, layout men, they would be arriving soon. They were not in sight. And your Prabhupada is saying, where are the books? I want the books. And the devotee had just purchased one computer typesetter and they were learning how to use it. And the buildings were completely unprepared. Carpenters were knocking down walls, trying to build the photo lab, the dark room. So things were completely, you know, messy. And additional plumbing was required. And then meanwhile, Prabhupada's servant called up Los Angeles. Srila Prabhupada is coming in 1 month. Please be ready with the books. So they were like, so much anxiety. Prabhupada is in anxiety. They are in anxiety. So then Prabhupada came to Hawaii. He was about to come to Los Angeles. So again his servant called up. Srila Prabhupada is very angry. He is asking, where are the books? When will the publishing start? And now the devotees face more problems because they didn't have expert Bengali editors. They had a lot of Sanskrit editors in ISKCON at that time. But Chaitanya Charitamrita was primarily in Bengali and they didn't have any Bengali editor. And Srila Prabhupada wanted many paintings. And for that means many months will be required to make those paintings. So they, Radha Vallabh Prabhu and Rameshwar Swami, they sat down and they started, you know, really thinking how to get these books. Now how to, and right now they were publishing one book in 4 months. That means the 17 volumes will take more than 5 years. So then they decided that we should really speed up and they made a lot of plans, grand plans, and finally they made an excellent plan that instead of 4 months for one book, we will do it with 100% increased productivity. We will take 2 months for one book. And then if we really need it, we'll stretch and try to make, you know, one book in 1 month. But 2 months is what we can do, from 4 months, 2 months. So they were very excited. They thought when Srila Prabhupada comes, he will be very angry, but we will tell him our plan and he will be very happy. And Srila Prabhupada came to Los Angeles. This was June 1975 and he came with the big entourage, Kirtanand Swami, Brahmanand Swami, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Vishnujan Swami, all top leaders were with Prabhupada. And as soon as Prabhupada entered Los Angeles temple, he sat on the Vyasasana and gave his arrival address. And he said, my Guru Maharaj wanted books. He told me at Radha Kund, if you get money, please print books. So I'm asking all of you, where are books? please, please help spread this mission. I beg you. Like, Prabhupada is literally pleading in that address, you know. And the next day morning was that morning walk in Venice Beach, a historical day, where Srila Prabhupada delivered that most extraordinary ultimatum. All of us know about it. So they were walking, and Srila Prabhupada said, 17 volumes, unpublished. This is a great problem for our movement. So all the devotees were there walking, no? And they said, yes, Prabhupada, yes, yes. And then Srila Prabhupada said, yes, something must be done, isn't it? Something must be done. And Rameshwar Swami said, yes, Prabhupada, yes. And then Srila Prabhupada said, so, I think all this should be published in 2 months. And very conclusively, Srila Prabhupada said, you know. So Rameshwar Swami, he wasn't sure he heard properly. So he said, now is the time to explain the plan to Srila Prabhupada. Now we'll explain to him how nicely. So then what happened? At this time, both Rameshwar and Radha Vallabh, they were on one side. And Brahmanand Swami, Tamal Krishna Maharaj were on the other side of Prabhupada. Prabhupada is walking. And both of them are on this side. And then they started explaining their fantastic plan, you know, of how instead of 4 months for one book, now they'll take 2 months. So they explained the whole thing. And after hearing the whole explanation, Srila Prabhupada, they are continuing the morning walk. And Prabhupada said, not fast enough. And when Prabhupada said this, you know, all the others, they looked at Rameshwar and Radha Vallabh, you know. Not fast, your plan is not fast enough. And both of them were so shaken, they looked at each other. You know, what is Srila Prabhupada saying? And then Srila Prabhupada again said, all the books should be done in 2 months' time. And this time they had clearly heard. There was no confusion. So the two managers, they were stunned in disbelief. Immediately Rameshwar Swami blurted out. He said, Prabhupada, it's impossible. And Prabhupada just put his cane on the ground and paused, stopped his walk, and he said, impossible is a word found in the Fool's Dictionary. He said it without anger, but very gravely he said it. For this time, Rameshwar and Radha Vallabh, they realized that their spiritual life was now online. To say impossible now would mean that they are doubting they're not having faith in Krishna's representatives, they're not having faith in Krishna's power. So now they realize that they have to throw away all their material calculations and material logic and rational common sense. Prabhupada wants it. So they were so stunned, they just stood speechless. And others continued their walk. And then it took some time for them to, you know, then they got up and they caught up with Prabhupada. That's what Prabhupada, we'll have to have a meeting and, you know, we'll have to discuss. Prabhupada said, whatever it takes you do, but in 2 months I need. So they discontinued the morning walk. They both of them went back to the temple. They had a meeting. And by this time, Prabhupada finished his morning walk. He came back to the temple and he visited the new building. By this time, the building was being made ready. Prabhupada had come to Los Angeles. He was seeing all the building, all the computer typesetter, all the latest things, equipments, and devotees were happy that Prabhupada is happy. Prabhupada was smiling at all the new equipments. And then Prabhupada said, very nice. But all this technology is good only if you can produce the 17 volumes in 2 months. Again, Srila Prabhupada said that. So then they had a lot of meetings, and that by that evening, they were convinced that some mystical power will descend and it can be done. They thought like that. So they went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, it will be done. And Srila Prabhupada said, okay. He didn't say anything. And then they said, but Prabhupada, the painting will not be of the best quality because, you know, practically it's not possible in 2 months, but we are going to get the painting, but it will not be of best quality. Srila Prabhupada said, okay, blind uncle is better than no uncle. And then they said, but Prabhupada, we need Bengali editing, so we need to disturb you. Prabhupada said, no, anytime you can come to me, any time of the day, night, come to me and I'll be there because I want this in 2 months. And then the marathon was on. So round the clock, devotees would get up, complete their rounds by 4:30, and whole day they would work. Most of them would take only one meal a day. And from all over the world of ISKCON, additional editors, painters, photographers, indexers, typists, proofreaders, layout men, they were all called from all over the ISKCON world. And now was going to be the demonstration of unprecedented team effort, which has never been seen in the history. You know, it is something unimaginable. Because, see, we just see how exciting it was and how it happened, and Srila Prabhupada ki jai, we say, but what devotees went through, and what kind of, you know, they got the largest printer in America at that time was Kingsport Press. Now, Rameshwar Swami and Radha Vallabh managed to negotiate with them, and this company agreed to push back all their assignments and freed their press for 24 hours until this job was done. I mean, that's like a big thing. Now, devotees were so much determined to please Srila Prabhupada. And then there was a paper company in New York. Now, the devotees managed to convince this paper company to supply unlimited paper till they meet the deadline. And this company was ready. And the top photographers of BBT were sent to India immediately to take photographs from Bengal and Orissa, because a lot of places in Chaitanya Charitamrit mentioned are from Bengal and Orissa. And then Prabhupada would give time to answer questions. Now, we may think that Prabhupada was very pushy and he wanted this out, but Prabhupada was so careful about the mood. Because at this time, one Mataji was also one of the painters, Gauri Devi Mataji. So one devotee told Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, this painting is not up to the mark." He was questioning the technical competency of that painting. So he said, "Prabhupada, this should not be like this. I don't think she's actually bought it nicely." And Srila Prabhupada immediately said, "No, can't you see the devotional spirit in this painting? It's done with so much devotion. It should be there." So Srila Prabhupada was very sensitive, very fine, you know. He knew how his disciples are putting their heart. And devotees, actually, they were blissful during this time. And it was one of the most common sight was devotees would be working. Sometimes because of exhaustion, they would be just, you know, falling on their desk. Somebody would be painting. It was a common sight to see a painter just fall, doze off next to his painting. And some other devotee would come, complete the painting. It would go, you know. It was like people did not know when the manuscript was coming for proofreading. When it was done, it was going. It was happening so fast, round the clock. Rameshwar Swami was negotiating with all the external, you know, people outside, and Radha Vallabh was managing the internal officers and the devotees, deadlines, pushing devotees, inspiring them, motivating them. And one day he was so exhausted during this period, he thought, I should go and sit with Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was giving evening darshan to all the devotees. So he took a break that night and he came and he sat behind. Just relax, you know, just I listened to what Srila Prabhupada is saying. And Prabhupada saw all the devotees and said, he was speaking about service to spiritual master, and Srila Prabhupada said, "I think I am keeping all of you here. You may have a lot of seva." And when Srila Prabhupada said that, everybody looked at Radha Vallabh because he was sitting behind. Prabhupada is telling you. No? And then he got up, he paid obeisances, and he ran back to work. So like that, he was like Radha Vallabh Prabhu at that time was like Paramatma. He was everywhere. Anybody wanted him, he would be there. Srila Prabhupada was very pleased with the effort of his disciples, because he had asked 17 books in 2 months and they had not rejected Srila Prabhupada's order. They did not make him change the order, or they did not even modify that order. Instead, they modified their own lives to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire. And they went beyond the realm of routine work to make it an extraordinary effort. Something which was unbelievable. And therefore, they all experienced great satisfaction. And finally, when all the books were published on time, and you know that, so then these books were offered at Rukmini Dwarkadish altar at Los Angeles temple, and the curtain opened, morning, Shringar Darshan, and all the 17 volumes were there in the altar. And the temple wall was filled with all the devotees who had worked for this marathon. And they saw those volumes and spontaneously all of them started crying. And then, it was not planned, but all of them unanimously, you know, together, they started chanting Srila Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra. Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshatari for they were constantly chanting this over and over again. And as they were chanting, they were crying tears of ecstasy. It was intense spiritual energy experience there. They could see Srila Prabhupada's potency. They could see themselves being used as instruments by the Lord to please their spiritual master. And then they wrote that, Rameshwar Swami wrote that famous letter to Srila Prabhupada, that we have lost all desires other than to simply carry out your order for the rest of our lives. And then Srila Prabhupada wrote back saying to Rameshwar Swami and company, and he said, for this one effort, all of you will go back home, back to Godhead, because you have, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, you have pleased me so much. So that's why I said in the beginning, this cannot be imitated. You know, this is something extraordinary. But the spirit, the principle can be taken and deeply imbibed. You know, otherwise, talking about Mother Yashoda, talking about Radharani, talking about the gopis, we can become sahajiyas very easily. It's very easy to become sahajiya without taking serious responsibility for our spiritual life, for our sadhana, for our service. And if you only keep talking about, you know, intense, how material world is bad and nasty, and not talk about Krishna Leela, we may become Mayavadis. We need Krishna Leela, we need the sweetness of Krishna Katha. Along with that, we also need to take serious talk about our own spiritual lives. And the most important thing, we have to be extremely careful to avoid offenses. So if we can take serious responsibility for our spiritual lives and somehow avoid offenses, then Krishna consciousness is wonderful. Then there is no problem. Then we can practice Krishna consciousness happily. So like this, this is what we can, one of the things that we can learn from today's verse. So to conclude, we have taken this theme today of Mother Yashoda being very anxious for Krishna. And as sadhakas, how we can also take up serious responsibility and anxiety for Srila Prabhupada's mission. That was the theme that we discussed. And then we concluded with Srila Prabhupada's pastime about how he purchased anxiety for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and how his followers stretched themselves and pleased Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes, Krishnanam Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your wonderful class. It's so inspiring. And you put the whole thing so succinctly. The doubt that came to my mind as you were telling about this pastime of the Chaitanya Charitamrita being published. Srila Prabhupada, of course, was there at all times guiding this team of devotees and directing them, you know, personally. So that was a very great benediction for those devotees that they had the spiritual master directly, you know. So several times we are also given instructions and we are also asked to do a particular service. But unfortunately, you know, because of, you know, various other responsibilities, we are not having that direction being given to us, you know, at specific times. And we do get bewildered whether we are doing an over-endeavor, you know, are we putting in more efforts than what is necessary, and we are not able to see any tangible results coming out, and then, you know, we are thinking that maybe we can divert our energies into doing some other service which is going to be more productive. So at such times, then, you know, we are, you know, we don't even know whether we can approach the spiritual master, or maybe we approach the spiritual master and the spiritual master is too busy to give us proper directions. So then how does one judge whether, you know, what we should be doing at that particular point of time? Yes, you know, we should still continue with our service, and, you know, somehow or the other, whether we are over-endeavoring or not, and, you know, so that's a time when we have to make the judgment. So then how do we do it, you know? So what should we do in such a situation?
Yeah, this is a practical problem faced by many devotees. One yardstick that I would, if I was in your place, I would try. It's easy for me to say this. If my consciousness is disturbed, in the sense, if my sadhana is not good, like let's say, because of quote and unquote, over endeavor or whatever, the result is my chanting, my hearing, basic sadhana is getting affected. Then it's time we reconsider our service. So I would give more importance to the effect it has on the consciousness in terms of chanting and hearing. Because the spiritual master gives two kinds of instructions. One is, this is Niranjan Swami Maharaj's understanding, amazing, it gave me so much clarity. He said spiritual master gives permanent instructions and he also gives temporary instructions. Now temporary doesn't mean not important, because for lack of a better term we are using the word temporary. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittete Koriya Aikya. Spiritual master's instructions are to be made as life and soul, no doubt about it. But still, some instructions are temporary. He might tell you distribute books during marathon. And January, he may not tell you that. He may tell you to do something else. So some instructions are temporary, but spiritual master also gives permanent instructions during the time of initiation. Like, you know, we take a vow of chanting 16 rounds, trying to be humble servant or servant. So these are permanent instructions. So when we have challenges and confusions, we should ask ourselves, am I compromising following the permanent instructions of the spiritual master for fulfilling his temporary instructions? Because the spiritual master in the ultimate analysis will be very pleased if we live with our vows with integrity and somehow maintain our vows and chant attentively. Of course, it goes without saying that you cannot chant attentively unless we take up serious responsibility and service. But at the same time, especially when you are beset with lot of services and you are not sure whether you are over-endeavoring or you are doing too much, it's best to be honest. It requires actually humility to say, I cannot do so much. You know, sometimes because of false ego also, we don't want to give up certain services. We just want to keep doing. But that's affecting our consciousness and sadhana. So sometimes it may take a little beating on the ego to say, well, you know, I need to chant. I need to hear a little. I know this is a very controversial thing what I'm saying, but this is my understanding. And then the spiritual master won't be displeased. Srila Prabhupada has written, Satsvarupa Maharaj has written a very beautiful book called I Am Not Displeased with Any Member. This is a series of letters which Srila Prabhupada wrote to Satsvarupa Maharaj and Jadurani Mataji. And Maharaj purports on Prabhupada's letters where Prabhupada is pushing them for paintings, for transcriptions, for editing, and they are not able to meet up to the deadlines. So he analyzes this issue very deeply in this book about how are we displeasing the spiritual master? He doesn't have time. He has given us instructions and there are so many things to do. You know, and our spiritual life is on the line. So he writes in that book very nicely that the spiritual master at the end of the day is not displeased. His job is to push you. And your job is to become humble. You have to give your best. And if you are sincerely trying, not everybody is a Superman. Somebody is like Hanuman, somebody is like squirrel. So we are trying our best to the extent we are sincere, pushing ourselves, not being in the comfort zone. Then the spiritual master is not displeased because your desire is to sincerely please. And the desire to sincerely please will attract the mercy of the Guru, because the definition of pure devotional service is not that Krishna is pleased or not pleased. The definition of pure devotional service is when we endeavor to please Krishna. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma danavritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhaktiruttama. Our desire to please Krishna, that is what constitutes pure devotional service. So you are endeavoring. Now, Mother Yashoda may apparently not please Krishna sometimes. You know, Mother Yashoda leaves Krishna to boil the milk. So Krishna is angry with her. So is Krishna displeased with Mother Yashoda? And can you say Kamsa is pleasing Krishna because Krishna is enjoying fighting with the demons and with Kamsa? So if Krishna's pleasure is the only criteria, then demons are giving pleasure to Krishna. Are they pure devotees? And sometimes apparently Mother Yashoda may annoy Krishna, but she is serving Krishna. Externally I am saying. So the definition of pure devotional service is anukulena Krishna. Our desire to please Krishna, that sincerity fills our own heart with great joy, great happiness. And externally the spiritual master may not reciprocate to keep us humble. We can be humble, we can be one amongst the crowd. But the principle as Paramatma Chaitya Guru is reciprocating in the heart. Devotees feel deep connection with the spiritual master when they are absorbed in their service. When Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco and first time he was going to India after establishing ISKCON, and all devotees were sitting around, they were feeling very emotional that Prabhupada is going to be away for a long time, and they didn't have means of communication so easy as now. And Srila Prabhupada said, "You all chant Hare Krishna here, I will chant Hare Krishna in India, and this chanting will keep us together." So our connection to spiritual master is through our following of vows, through remembering him during our chanting, during our sadhana, mangala arati. And direct reciprocation we may get, we may not get. We should hanker for it. That is purifying. You know, wanting, oh, you know, I want the spiritual master to give me, you know, time, explanation. So that is purifying. That is anxiety. But as long as you're not envious of other devotees who are getting time and who are getting answers to their issues, as long as you're not envious, as long as you don't do something harmful, and you may be miserable, apparently. But if you're remembering the spiritual master in that misery, that will give you joy, actually. If you remember Krishna, if you're grateful, as long as you don't commit offenses. So hankering is not wrong. Oh, I wish I get more time, you know. You can call up, you can follow up, and be detached also. So this is my understanding that sometimes the spiritual master wants to make you humble also. Like I remember once we were coming from Juhu in car with Maharaj, and there was another devotee. So the initiation ceremony that would take place another 3 days. So this devotee was organizing. So I'll tell the name, Gaurang Prabhu. So all of you know, there should be no beating around the bush. So Maharaj was saying, "So are the arrangements done?" And Gaurang Prabhu immediately said, "Yes, Maharaj, this is done." He showed the printout and Maharaj said, "Oh, okay." Then Maharaj asked, "Okay, what about the fire yagya and this?" And Maharaj is done. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu will do that. He will do that. He showed all the other plan. So for every question Maharaj was asking, he had made all the arrangements, you know. It was very nice. Spiritual master was pleased. So the end, after some time, Maharaj asked another very tough question. I don't remember now. Something very... So we thought that now this Gaurang Prabhu must not have made arrangement. You know? So then Maharaj said, "What about this?" And then Gaurang Prabhu said, "Yes, Maharaj, that is also taken care of." And he showed some other plan, something they have done. So then Maharaj said, "You lost a chance to be humbled." it was amazing, ne? So it was sweet, but I realized that sometimes the spiritual master may push you. He may not push everyone the same way. Somebody who's really capable of big things, he may be pushed for bigger things. And somebody is a squirrel, he may be pushed for some small things. So it's like that. So we can take it positively like that. And if it's really tough, then we can meet our other God brothers and discuss and take their consent and reduce our services or increase our services or change our service. Okay? Thank you. We'll stop here. This is 10 o'clock, we have to stop. Sorry. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Okay.